Welcome to another edition of Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com. John Schmuck, Paul Dottino back from Indianapolis, though the Combine is in its final day. All the media is gone by now because nobody's talking to the media anymore in Indianapolis. So everyone basically went home on Saturday after you got that final group of defensive players talking to the media. So if you listen to the shows on Wednesday to Friday, we had some great guests, gave us a lot of insight on not only the Combine and the college prospects, but also free agency. But in the midst of speaking to all those guests, Paul and I never really had much of a chance to do a final wrap-up, final take of the weekend, so we'll give that to you now. Cornerbacks, by the way, ran this morning. Safeties will run this afternoon. They're doing on-the-field drills as well. Denzel Ward cemented his spot as the top corner, running a sub-4.4 out of Ohio State. So he will be the first corner off the board. And he also measured a little bit taller than people thought, nearly 5'11". People thought he might only be 5'9". So Denzel Ward, I think, is pretty safely atop that cornerback list, and we'll start there.
Well, yeah, because quite frankly, at 5'11", people will look at you as a legitimate slot corner and maybe even a chance to play on the outside at 5'11".
Sure you can.
Now, if you're 5'9", you fall into the Charles James, Dante Dion category.
You have to play the slot.
Where not only do you have to play the slot, there's even some doubt as to whether or not you'll be able to effectively do it at this level.
Correct. Brent Grimes is the exception, not the rule, the way he can play corner at his height. In terms of the weekend, Paul, there weren't really a lot of huge surprises to me. Most of the guys kind of did what I thought they would do. The strengths that we thought they had is kind of what they showed. A few things, I guess, took me by surprise, and I'll kind of go in order of how they went chronologically. Colton Miller, tackle out of UCLA, I think really helped himself with his athletic testing. I think he has to add a lot of strength, but I think he has the athletic talent to be a good pass protector in this league if you can get some more meat on the bones and get his technique in order. So I think, given his rise and Orlando Brown's complete disaster that was Indianapolis, I could see Miller rising into the top of day two and maybe even into the bottom of day one, because generally speaking, the tackle class to me is maybe a little bit more impressive than last year's crop, but not a whole lot.
No, the offensive tackle class, unfortunately, I thought took a hit in Indy. I thought it was going to be okay going out there. By the time we were taking the flight back home, I was pretty much convinced that there's only three or four guys that are really even considerations by the middle of the second round, and then there's a big drop-off. The guards are clearly more plentiful. If you're looking for a guy who's got a potential to play right away, you might even be able to go third round on one of those guys, but not with the tackles.
To me, only one tackle, in my opinion, if I'm a team drafting, would I select in the first round, and that's Mike McGlinchey. Connor Williams and his 33-inch arms would scare me a little bit to make a first-round pick at tackle, given his injuries last year, the way his play fell off. I think Orlando Brown might not be picked till the third round now, given how he performed in Indianapolis, because his issues were reflected by his issues on tape, and people thought that maybe he'd show a little bit more, but he didn't in a lot of different ways. The athletic testing, the bench press was terrible, and he's a really large man. Now, he's always going to be 6'8", and he's always going to have an 84-inch wingspan, so that ain't going anywhere, and that's going to help him.
That's true.
But putting him in an isolation situation against Von Miller or Khalil Mack would scare the living bejesus out of it.
See, it's not even so much the numbers that Orlando Brown put up at the Combine. It's the fact that across the board in each one of the tests, he did poorly. Now, when you do that, okay, and it's a consistently poor grade on each one of the tests, that actually identifies a bigger problem. It means that either you didn't take the Combine seriously or you just weren't flat out prepared. And that goes to what Dave Gettleman talks about when he says, I want to know about the guy's mentality. I want to know about his work ethic. I want to know about his hustle. I want to know about his ability to take things seriously. I want to know that this guy's going to ball. Well, if you can't be, it's one thing to be prepared for the combine, and maybe for whatever reason, you don't test well on a particular event. That can happen, John. Sure. You can have a bad day.
Sure.
We all get that. But when you go through the whole combine and you do poorly on everything, that indicates more of a mental perception that you've taken about this, and it's not good. It's not good.
And it's not just poor testing. It's historically terrible testing.
He did really bad.
There's only been the last time somebody ran slower on the 40 than him was 2001. 14 reps at the bench for an offensive lineman is terrible. He had a 6'10" broad jump, and the joke that we got from, I think it was Kyle Krabs that made the joke for us, was if he would have just tipped over at the start line, he would have went 6'8", because he's 6'8". So he jumped 2 inches better than if he would have just fallen down. So obviously a rough day for him. You mentioned the guards and the interior linemen. It looks like Billy Price didn't completely tear his pec doing the bench press. So hopefully he will be able to get back for the spring and the summer and be okay. Remains to be seen.
Don't know.
He's a potential first rounder. James Daniels from Iowa is going to be a first round pick. Will Hernandez is going to be a first round pick. Isaiah Wynn's going to be a first round pick. Austin Corbett from Nevada is moving up towards the top of the second round. And of course you have Quentin Nelson at the top of the draft. So yeah, you have a pretty good top group of guards here, Paul, but it does fall off a cliff a bit after you get past that first group.
It does, but, you know, even we talked to, I forget to which one of our guys told us, again, we had so many experts on. Folks, go back to Giants.com. It's all archived. Each one of our experts came on, and the segments are all snippets there on the site.
And the full shows are on there as well, and they are on the podcast.
Yeah, and I can't say enough about those guys. John lines them up every year for us, and these are top-notch people who just make a living out of soaking it all in all year long. They're not just Johnny-come-latelys. You know, I can be honest with you. I'm watching the NFL and the Giants all year. I can't watch as much college football as these guys, not even a smidgen of it. So, you know, they know an awful lot, and they bring it all to the table for us. So I just want to say it's worth it, okay, if you didn't get a chance. Now, having said that, Rankin, I thought, was going to be a potential second-round tackle. But after talking to guys at the Combine, more than one, and not just on this show, but off the air, said to me, we think he's going to be a better guard. So he enhances the guard depth, but lessens the tackle depth, which again goes further into what we were saying seconds ago.
And Connor Williams, who I think a lot of teams will start him outside, but they'll be more willing to move him at guard given his arm length and the fact he didn't play that well in 2017. A bigger picture, and that was kind of day two when you had the running backs and the quarterbacks going back-to-back days. And I'll start with the QBs, Paul, because, and I wrote this on Giants.com for Cover 3 this morning, it's as muddled as it was before we showed up in Indianapolis. Some people like Josh Rosen. Some people like Sam Darnold. Some people like Josh Allen. Some people like Baker Mayfield. And I'm not saying it's even across the board. I think the general consensus is that Darnold's the number one quarterback on the board. I think that's what we got from the majority of the guys we spoke to. But we had people say Rosen. We had people say Josh Allen. We had people say Mayfield. So I think it's really a beauty is in the eye of the beholder type of situation at quarterback, who fits your system best. And I think a big part of this, Paul, is when these teams have these quarterbacks in for 12 or 16 hours to get to know them, do film work, get them on the field for workouts, do video, whiteboard stuff. I think those meetings are going to go a long way for these teams to parsing 1 through 4, and if you want to throw Lamar Jackson into it, that's fine, 1 through 5, how they rank these quarterbacks on their individual boards. I think it's going to be really, really fascinating.
Yeah, the pro days are going to be real important, especially for Darnold, who didn't throw at the combine because of a sore arm.
Which won't hurt him, by the way.
No. But see, I'm going to say this, John, and I agree with what you said based on the evidence that we heard from our guests on the program.
Right.
But I will tell you, it was overwhelming. In fact, it was unanimous from everybody I talked to off the program. Don't take a quarterback number one. It was unanimous. I mean, I didn't talk to anybody who disagreed with that. Everybody was saying that Barkley should be the number one pick.
Well,
the Browns should take Barkley number one, and they may even take Barkley at number one. I don't think anybody that I talked to thought that a quarterback should be the first pick.
I will rephrase that. No one we talked to thought a quarterback had a higher grade than Saquon Barkley.
and again, it's a lot of semantics, but I understand what you're saying.
Because positional values is a big deal.
And that's the thing.
And people have said that, look, if the Browns fall in love with one of these quarterbacks and they have to have one of the individual quarterbacks because they like them, yeah, they should take that guy number one. And that makes sense, obviously.
Because we're talking about the Browns, folks. Remember that.
Yeah,
and, of course,
sure.
they're desperate for a quarterback. So people would understand if they took one. But I think, you know, the one thing that we definitely learned about Barkley's stock is that it went through the roof
because
he tested so well.
Paul and I tried to find people to tell us bad things about Saquon Barkley.
We doesn't tried. Exist.
We hard. We,
doesn't
we,
exist.
We tried hard. We talked to a lot of people. And, yeah, you know, maybe he bounces things too much. Maybe he doesn't run like a 230-pound guy. His style might have to change. But you could not find one person that had a non-nitpicky bad thing to say about Saquon Barkley.
Yeah.
And he and Quentin Nelson, and this is the impression that I got, they are the two highest-graded, sure-thing players on this draft. Even a level above the Bradley Chubbs and Minkah Fitzpatrick.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to get throwing positional value out the window now, just
yes.
in terms of a player at
yes.
their position, if you want to take the two best players in this draft, it's Barkley, it's Nelson.
Yes, I agree with that 100%. I don't think there's any question about that. We came away with a very strong feeling about both of those guys being as blue chip as you could possibly find. Can't miss. These guys are going to be terrific pro players. And now it comes down to, what do you need? What are you looking for? Where are you picking? How do you feel about the position? These are difficult questions for everybody to answer,
yeah.
which is why nobody knows exactly how the top five are going to fall.
Right. And the other thing, Paul, too, we mentioned already depth at guard, which if you're sitting there and you're looking at Quentin Nelson, you're like, whoa, but if I can get a really good guard at the top of the second round, why would I pick Quentin Nelson at two? And teams might be thinking, too, well, this running back class is deep. Nick Chubb ran extremely well at the combine. He was wonderful. Darius Geis ran wonderfully at the combine. Sony Michel's numbers are almost identical to Alvin Kamara's. He ran well at the combine. The only running back that didn't perform well was Ronald Jones because he pulled up with a hamstring on his 40-yard dash. Rashad Penny ran a sub 4.5 at the combine. So much like the guard position, there's going to be some really good running backs at the top of the second mm-hmm. and top of the third
mm-hmm.
round, which might make you think, well, as good as Barkley is, if these guys are only a little bit worse, shouldn't we wait to try to get the running back? And it puts the Giants into the classic draft conundrum. How do you value a player's grade versus the player's position and how you value that spot on the field? And that's the calculation the Giants are going to have to make based on how they view these positions and the depth of those positions in this draft. And it's going to be tough.
Well, it's going to be even tougher because the third part of that equation is need. Value, positional value, and need. Oh, that's a whopper of a headache, folks. I will tell you this. The positions for me that I thought took the biggest move at the combine was the tackles went down,
mm-hmm.
the running backs went up, okay? And I will tell you this, I know so many people went in thinking that there's these four elite quarterbacks and maybe Jackson is number five and these guys will be gone within the first half of the first round. I don't doubt the fact that it's possible, and I forget, was it Brugler who said, five quarterbacks could be taken in the first round. I don't think I...
Oh, yeah, sure.
Was it
he
him?
Said five in the top 15.
Right. We heard a lot of that going in.
I heard
so many people say that there are questions about each one of these guys. None of them's a can't miss. Everyone... And with the free agent quarterbacks out there, I don't know. I'm just saying, folks, this is not going to be the 2004 quarterback class all over again, where you got your Rivers, your Roethlisberger, your Eli Manning, and it's going to be like, oh, wow, this was a great group of quarterbacks. I had a quarterback guru, one of the NFL quarterback gurus who tutors NFL QBs. I had an opportunity to talk to him off the air. He said to me, three of those top four quarterbacks will be busts.
I cannot disagree more.
And the other guy...
Totally disagree.
Well, he's a mechanics guy.
Okay.
And the other guy is only going to be pretty good. And I said, That's a pretty strong statement. I haven't heard anybody diss these guys that much. I said, you're going way overboard here, no? He goes, I don't think so. He said, I'm telling you, there's no Goff, there's no Wentz. He said, I'm telling you, people are fool's gold. These guys are not top of the first round quarterbacks, period. And this guy's been doing quarterback guruing and mentoring for a good, 20 years now?
Well, that's not the impression I got from all the people.
This was one guy. This was one guy. And there's only one guy now.
And I think that's a big outlier. I still think four of these guys are going to be gone in the top 10 picks.
And I think that's very possible.
But they're going to be off the board. And look, I'm not telling you all four are going to be home runs. There's a good chance that one or even two are busts. But the only way Josh Rosen busts is if he gets hurt. As a quarterback and a thrower, he's going to be fine. He's going to be fine.
The medical is a problem for me.
Well, again, I don't disagree with that. But I can't call a guy a bust if he happens to get hurt.
No.
You know what I mean?
I understand that.
And I think Mike Mayock made the player comparison. I think it's a good one. Josh Rosen's very similar to Sam Bradford. Very slight frame. You worry about the injuries. Very accurate as a quarterback. I think that Rosen maybe has a little bit better of an arm than Bradford does, in my opinion at least. But I think that's a pretty good comp.
When you start to do those kinds of things, and Kuiper was saying how Matt Stafford is Josh Allen.
You know, I think that's a high-end Josh Allen comp, but it could be.
You could start doing all those kinds of things because you want to project the guy into someone's body who's already played in the league. You want to do that.
Well, you want to give fans an idea of what they can expect if they get the player, right?
You want to try. But having never stepped off a college field, you know, that's that real tricky deal that everybody, tries to nail down. And if you could, you'd have $1 million in your pocket.
No question. In terms of what happened on Saturday, Paul and I were back, but I watched full combine coverage when we returned. I thought Bradley Chubb cemented himself as the third best player in this draft class, in my opinion, after Barkley and Nelson. He tested really well, doing a lot of different things. Harold Landry tested very well over the course of the day, but, you know, I think Mike Mayock made the point that teams he's talked to have him anywhere from the third round to the first round. So someone will roll the dice on him as a pass rusher. The question is who. Edge rushers are hard to find. Someone will roll the dice on that. But it is, to me, not a dynamic edge class, Paul, where you're going to have a bunch of these pass rushers going in the first round. I don't see it.
No. Again, we knew kind of where each of these positions were falling generically going into the combine. And as I've always said, it was my understanding, at least from the Giants' perspective, I can't talk about everybody else around the league, is that the basis of the grade comes from the game films. Okay. You deal with the medical. You deal with the attitude. That's all true. The way the Giants had done it for years, and I'm not going to speak for Dave Gettleman because he's the new GM here, but the way the Giants had done it under George Young, and I do believe at least Jerry Reese did for the most part keep this in line, and I know Ernie, of course he did, you will never upgrade a guy off his combine performance. What you will do is cement him where he is or potentially take him, you will never tell, I got this opposite. You will never take him down off his combine performance. You can potentially upgrade him a tick off of his interview and his combine performance. That's possible.
That sounds right.
Possible to upgrade him a tick, but you will never take someone down off the underwear Olympics. So, you know, I don't know. I don't know what Dave Gettleman's thinking because he very well could be saying, hey, that was then. I have a different way to do it. I have a different gauge to work off of. So I don't want to speak for him, but I know that's the way the Giants have done it for a long, long time, which is why I've kind of never given as much weight to these combines as other people. But nonetheless, there are certainly interesting things, like when you see Orlando Brown Jr. do what he did. That certainly makes you shake your head.
Well, and you mentioned the medicals. They're very important. And unfortunately for the kid, Maurice Hurst, the defensive tackle out of Michigan, they found the heart problem with him. We'll have to see what happens with that with him. Hopefully it's a similar situation to star Lotulelei from a few years ago. He had the heart problem, still went in the first round. He turned out to be okay. So hopefully that happens. Good top of the tackle class. Vita Vea, the kid out of Washington, is supposed to be very, very good. He benched, I think, 41 on the bench press or something crazy like that.
Well, they knew he was going to.
Yeah, he was unbelievable. Deron Payne, the defensive tackle out of Alabama. People really like him. So just a couple guys at the tackle spot. And I want to touch on the linebackers before we get to the calls. Unless you have something on the tackles you want to give me.
No, I simply wanted to say, and you were going to probably get to this now, Shaquem Griffin, who became the other huge story of the combine.
Yep.
Specifically because of his 40 time, which was nuts.
And by the way, his other drills were great too. His
did you see
jump,
his bench
vertical
press?
Jump, his three cone, I did.
Oh my goodness! They gave him a prosthetic that he could put over his arm that lacks the hand, so that he could lock onto the bar. And he did 21 was it?
Yeah, 20 or 21. Yeah.
And you know the crowd just went
it was great.
Nuts for him. He, you know, again, folks, I want to make this clear. I appreciate everything that he has done. He's a great story. He's an inspiration to anybody who watches him play. He has fun with the game. All his measurables are just terrific. That's in the NCAA. It's not the NFL, where players are bigger, stronger, faster. I don't know. We have enough trouble projecting college guys into the NFL game, even when they have all the tools. He has a missing tool. I've seen Jason Pierre-Paul, who was an accomplished all-pro NFL player, and every single game, when he plays with that club or that mitt, he is much less effective against fellow NFL players. That's a fact.
True. I will say this, though. I think it's a little bit different because Griffin has played with this his whole life.
And this is what the Twitter people come back at me with. I don't know how to gauge that.
This is
the NFL.
I thought before the combine performance, Paul, he was going to be around a fifth-round pick. I thought that's where he would fall in the draft. He'd be a fifth-round selection, give or take. After what he did, you tell me why he can't beat Deion Buchanan.
Again, John, I
in college, you look at the film, you never see him miss tackles. You just don't see it. And you think, how is that possible? And I get it. Logically speaking, what you're saying, I understand it 100%. But you don't see it. It doesn't
bigger,
show up.
Bigger, stronger, faster in the NFL.
Well, he showed he has all the athleticism to hang with faster and bigger.
Okay, but when they are bigger, stronger, faster on the field as opposed to the team, the guys he was going against before, well, guess what? That little split second where he's not as quick getting there, or maybe when he needs that other hand that he doesn't have to drag a guy down, especially because that guy is stronger than the fellow he played with in college.
That's fair.
And now, you know, he can get that guy down maybe with one hand. Now you can't do it in the
NFL.
And
also a smaller conference, too, at UCF. Yeah. It's not like he's playing in the SEC or anything like that.
Try tackling Todd Gurley.
I know.
I mean,
the other guy I want to mention, too, a linebacker is Leighton Vander Esch, who if he could ever get to the Giants at 34, I think that'd be a great pick. I don't think that's going to happen now. I think there are now three first-round linebackers in this draft between Edmonds, Roquan Smith, and Van Der Esch.
Sounds like it.
He seems to be climbing up the board. So that was at least my take from the Saturday stuff with the guys that stood out to me.
Yeah. Oh, one other thing I would say, the quarterback interviews. Mm-hmm. I did think, and I don't know. I know some people still think that Josh Rosen did well. I thought Josh Allen was by far the winner of the quarterback.
Honestly, I had heard Josh Allen at the Senior Bowl, so I didn't listen to him at the combine. I decided to listen to Lamar Jackson instead because I had not heard him before.
Okay.
But I was really impressed with Allen when I heard him at the Senior Bowl, so I wasn't surprised when you told me he was great.
Yeah, I was very disappointed in Darnold. I was very disappointed in Mayfield. I thought that their press interviews during the media sessions did not go well. I thought
I thought Darnold was fine. I just thought he was just not – he was fine. He wasn't great. He was okay.
I thought
he answered the questions.
It looked a little bit like a deer in headlights to me. In fact, let me see. I got my notes here. I was writing stuff down. I'm very perceptive about this kind of stuff because I like to get into players' heads. Being around as long as I have, I look for these kinds of things, and I wrote down for him.
I agree with you on Mayfield, by the way. I thought he was very brash, which is exactly what you expect out of him, given his history.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's not a surprise.
A little arrogant, a little obnoxious, a little rude. Did brash is a good word for it. I didn't write that down, what I had.
No, I remember what you told me. You pulled me aside and you told me.
He sounded immature to me. He sounded like a little bit of a deer in headlights.
He sounded a little nervous.
He had a lot of growing up to do. And the one question that really got me.
He didn't seem like a bad kid, though.
I didn't say he was a bad
guy.
No. I got a feeling that Mayfield, he just rankled me. I did not care for
his
interview.
I'm not surprised by that.
Darnold did not make me feel that way, but he did not make me feel like he was prepared for the NFL. I did not like the fact that he came in immediately saying that he was expecting to compete for a starting job right away, and I know you want to tell me that competitors should want to do that.
Of course.
But no, because, you know, if you get drafted by a certain team, you do what that team wants you to do. Yeah, you want to compete, but you also have to add.
And that's what he said.
That I'll do what they want me to do. I don't remember.
Sure they did.
I don't remember that.
Yeah, he was asked what happened. He said I would try to be the best backup quarterback in the league, right?
I didn't remember hearing that. I wish we had all those transcripts. Okay. I don't have them all. The one thing he did say that bothered me, though, when he was asked about if you get drafted by a team very high, chances are you're going to be a guy who's going to have to turn that team around. Did you hear that part of
it? Yeah, and he said, I don't know. I've never been asked to do that before.
That's not cool.
Why? That's exactly correct.
You got to have
that's the right answer.
Not for me. Not for me. If I'm a GM, that's not the right answer for me. Because you got a turnover machine here who now can little afford turnovers anyway, but if you're coming to a team that's already got a bunch of losing on its record and you got to turn it around, you better have in your mind some kind of answer for that GM about what I'm going to do to try to turn it around. He said, I don't know because we'll have to see. I've never done it before. That's not good. That's a knock. I'm not happy with it. And I only say this.
That didn't bother me at all.
And that's okay.
With you.
I only say this because Dave Gettleman said that these interviews are, for him, are important. Football mentality is important. Well, if you want to grade someone on that, he lost points for me. But I'm not taking a quarterback anyway, so what do I care?
All right, let's do phone calls. We'll start off with Travis in Queens on line one. He leads us off on Big Blue Kickoff Live on Giants.com. What's up, Travis?
Fellas, how you guys doing?
What's up, buddy?
Ain't nothing. So you said you wasn't surprised. I think, John, I think you had to be surprised about Saquon Barkley. Because going into this
I wasn't. I expected Saquon Barkley to blow up the combine. Yeah, I was not surprised at all.
But you didn't think that he was going to – he outgraded the quarterbacks. You was big in the beginning on these quarterbacks.
No, Travis. I've been saying since the beginning – that Saquon Barkley is one of the two best players in this draft, but that doesn't mean you pick him as the top player because of positional value. I've been very consistent from the beginning.
Right. Now, going in, doesn't he challenge your point on positional value?
No. How does how he performs at the combine have anything to do with the value of the running back position? One has nothing to do with the other.
Because if you pick him number two, position value, you're saying that there's nobody close in that combine to him. Just like there's no, the only close person to like a Nelson will be Will Hernandez. He's close. But far as
by the way, Travis, just saying, some teams might have Nelson with a higher grade than Saquon Barkley at the individual position. I'm just telling you that's fact.
Right, yeah, no, and when I was seeing it can go either way. That's how dominant they were. But the shot, and this helps Davis Webb's argument that he fits where he's at, and we don't need to go.
Well, Travis, what the hell does this have to do with Davis Webb? What does Saquon Barkley have to do with Davis Webb?
Travis, I want to clear something up here because I think you're kind of confusing a bunch of wires. To be perfectly honest with you, no matter who the running back is,
correct?
Okay, the book of football 101 says running backs are out of the league. Even top choices are going to be slowing down by 30, and they're lucky if they're in the league after 30.
They're slowing down by 27 or 28.
Yeah, so the duration of prime years that a running back is going to have in the league, based on pure historical stats, okay, and also based on injury history of the position.
Correct.
Tells you that value of taking a running back that high in the draft is risky business.
And statistically, you do not get a big drop-off, Travis, of running backs selected in the first round as compared to the second or third. The drop-off in production is not as steep as it is in other positions.
But it's just a fact. And I understand that, but at the same time, the quarterback position in history is the biggest bust position.
Okay. But Travis, he's not.
By the way, that's actually not true, by the way, if you look at the percentages.
Here's the thing. No, well, they become more noticeable because when they bust,
right,
they become a real disaster.
They're noticeable, correct.
But here's the thing, Travis. That Football 101 says the offensive guard can't be that high on the board,
correct,
in terms of a draft choice. Football 101 says you got to be reluctant to take a running back there. Those are generic.
Even a safety.
Right.
Safety's another one. Nothing to do with the player. So, please, I don't know where you're confusing the argument about the player compared to the generic statement about the position.
Correct.
It's not the same.
Okay. So now, look, the reason why, right, is for the fact that that philosophy, listen, the way the game changed, it changes some of the philosophy going in. Like years ago, for the last, let's say, I don't want to go 10 years because I can't remember that far back. But let's say for the last 5 years, right? There hasn't been a tackle dominant that went top five. And to this point, you're like, oh, okay, that left tackle. Because as far as I heard it, the way you draft when you build in a team is you go left tackle and then you go cornerback. Now, a lot of people has it different. But what I'm saying is this year, this time and now, the value of position, I think you have to throw all that out the window because you take a Quentin Nelson. You mean to tell me that Quentin Nelson can't go number one? Travis,
I wouldn't take Quentin Nelson number one because he's a guard. And if you take a look, the difference between the top guard in the league isn't that big as compared to the fourth or fifth best guard in the league. Travis, hold on. Let me ask you something. I'm going to go back to you're big Giant fans, right? I'm going to go back to the 2000 Odell drafted in 2013, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
Who do you think is going to make more Pro Bowls, Zach Martin or Odell Beckham Jr.?
Come again, I'm sorry.
Who do you think is going to make more? Who's going to be an All-Pro more times in their career, Zach Martin or Odell Beckham Jr.?
I would say Odell.
Well, that's not going to be the case because the bottom line is that would you rather have Zach Martin or Odell?
Odell.
Would you rather have Zach Martin or Jadeveon Clowney?
The first guy you just said, I don't want Clowney.
Would you rather have Zach Martin or Aaron Donald?
Zach. Ooh.
2014, Odell.
That's tough.
Here's the thing. Travis. I don't want this to be a yelling match for anybody. Here's the point. The point is, the Football 101 book states historically what the philosophical situation is for these positions as you approach the draft. That's all it is. Now, whether or not you want to take the risk because a particular player is so talented that you want to go off the book and say, you know what, the risk is worth it because this guy is so good, that's fine. You're absolutely entitled to feel that way.
Sure.
And I'm going to tell you flat out, if the Giants can't get a boatload of picks at number two to trade out, my next decision would probably take Barkley. But you know what? He probably won't be there now because the other thing we heard a lot of at the combine is that the Browns might.
By the way, the rumors of who people are taking in March don't mean anything. Okay.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah, real quick.
Let me ask you this. All right, so you're a Yankee fan, right?
Yeah.
I heard you say.
Sure.
All right, so you like the Stanton move?
Yeah.
Wow.
What does that have to do with anything?
So why do you like the Stanton move, though?
Because they gave up absolutely nothing to get the best home run hitter in baseball.
Right, exactly. So now listen. Now you say home run hitter. That's exactly what Saquon Barkley is. So you had him and Odell and Eli. That's a tough.
Travis, you're using the second pick in the draft. Travis, thanks for the call. I appreciate it. You're using the second round pick in the draft on him. The Yankees gave up nothing to get Stanton except for money.
I appreciate that he may have a legitimate feeling about wanting certain players because of their grades.
And that's fine.
The problem is his arguments are twisted.
Correct.
That's his problem. Travis, if you want to take Barkley or Nelson at number two, I would not fight you on that. I think they both have justifiable talent grades to take them there.
Yes.
But conventional wisdom tells you got to kind of bite your tongue when you do it.
Right.
That's all.
And you said Odell was 2014, right?
Yes.
All right, hold on.
I'm going to count back.
I'm going to play this game here.
17, okay. 16, 15, 14.
And no one loves offensive linemen more than Paul Dottino. Nobody, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Paul, would you agree that Zach Martin's the best guard to be drafted in the last 5 or 6 years?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to go through this draft. Zach Martin was picked 16th, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Let's say we're doing a redraft right now.
Mm-hmm.
Would you rather have Zach Martin or Aaron Donald?
Wow.
You'd rather have Aaron Donald. He's going to be the highest paid defensive player in football next year.
See, and again, this also comes down to your need component.
Well, I'm blank slate. Blank slate. Aaron Donald's a more valuable player in the NFL than Zach Martin.
Yes.
Okay? Odell Beckham Jr. or Zach Martin? You'd rather have Odell Beckham Jr. Of course you would.
Mm-hmm.
He's a premium player.
Mm-hmm.
Would you rather have Mike Evans or Zach Martin?
I'm not a big Mike Evans guy, so that's kind of unfair.
Okay. Well, fine. How about Jake Matthews or Zach Martin? Starting left tackle?
You probably got to go with the tackle.
Right.
How about again, that's because of positional value.
Well, but that's the point I'm getting at.
Zach Martin's a better player.
That's the point I'm getting at, though.
There you go.
Taylor Lewan or Zach Martin?
Okay.
You want the tackle.
Yes.
Jadeveon Clowney or Zach Martin? You want the pass rusher.
Yeah.
Khalil Mack, you want the pass rusher.
Yeah.
So even though Zach Martin might be an all-pro more times than all the people I've listed and might be a better guard than these other players are at their position, you're going to take the other players first because they impact the game more.
Again,
that's the point I'm trying to get at here.
Although the new argument, and Dave Gettleman was very good about bringing this up when he's been peppered about this question,
right,
especially about Quentin Nelson, is that you have more and more teams that are developing pass rush and dominant run stoppers inside the tackles, and that, guess what? Those interior offensive linemen are now trending in a more important position. But, folks, that's not historically the way it's been. It's kind of starting to look like that arrow's creeping up. Are we there yet? That's the question. How high is that level, and how high can you take a Nelson?
And, Paul, ironically, I'm not trying to dismiss Saquon Barkley, but frankly, I'm kind of where you're at. You said if you can't trade down, you might lean that way.
Yeah.
And guess what? My top quarterback, Sam Darnold, if I don't get him right now, I might be leaning towards taking Barkley at two if I can't trade down too. So trust me, Paul and I are not discounting the value, the quality of the player. But folks, don't call in and try to tell us that the running back position is just as valuable as the quarterback position. It's just not true. It's not true. If you want to make the argument that you think he's so talented that he overcomes that, cool. Make the argument. We got you. But you can't argue it the other way. You just can't. 201-939-4513. Victor in Florida is up next. Hi, Victor.
Good afternoon, Paul and John.
Hi, Victor.
I'd like to ask you a question. What is, and you don't have to answer, I mean, I'm just asking this question. What is your gut feel on the chances of the Giants drafting Barkley?
I think there's a very good chance, if he's there, by the way, which is no guarantee of. I think he will be.
That's the problem.
But I think there's a very good chance, if he's sitting there on the board, that Barkley's a Giant next year. But I think I could say the same of, I think there's a good chance Bradley Chubb could be. I think there's still a good chance one of the quarterbacks could be. So, Victor, I think it's still very much up in the air.
Victor, I would say my take on that is it will be in order. Barkley, Chubb, and I would not totally rule out Nelson, believe it or not.
No, I agree, but I would put him below those other two guys.
Okay.
I'm with you on that.
I'll tell you this. I, you know, yes, I do go by, you know, Football 101 and Pro Football Focus, but in this case, I think we got a guy that will be an automatic game changer. Now, if Cleveland happens to get him before us, which is there's a good chance, then I will probably trade down to get more picks.
Well, that's still my first preference. Remember that. It's always going to be my first preference is to trade down.
And frankly, if they decide not to go quarterback, I'm with Paul. I think if I can get down to 5 or 6, I think that's what I would want to try to do as well.
Correct, correct. I agree with you, but my main thing is right now, I wish the hell the Giants will draft Barkley. This guy is unique, I mean, I followed him at Penn State. I seen the combines. I mean, he's a guy that comes out of college once in a lifetime.
Now, well, that's not,
I mean, look,
that's
what
not
Ezekiel Elliott did with the Cowboys when they first got him.
Yeah, that was 3 years ago, so it's not once in a lifetime if it was 3 years ago.
Yeah, you can't put that label on him, Vic. He's not Walter Payton. You know, he's not Emmitt Smith.
I know that, but I think he's got the potential.
He's got the potential to be really good.
And by the way, there are no guarantees. That's why the one thing that does bother me a little bit, Victor, and I'm not saying this is you that did it. People assume that the chance of Saquon Barkley not being a Hall of Famer is zero. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, it is ridiculous.
It's ridiculous.
I think what our experts told us was if they had a bet on one guy in this draft that might be one, they'd bet on him.
It'll be him or Nelson.
That's what we
It'll
did.
Be him or Nelson. Yeah. Those are the two guys that they would bet on. But to say that there's zero bust factor for Saquon Barkley, do you know who people compared Trent Richardson to 4 years ago?
No.
Bo Jackson. All right? So trust me, you never know with these guys. There's always a chance a guy's going to fail.
You know what, Vic? I just want to say one thing here, and I'm with you that if the Giants, in my mind, if the Giants are picking there at two, and I have my choice of any player that could be there for them, I would want it to be Barkley. I am certainly leaning in that direction. But think of this. Think of this. If the Browns do take him at number one,
listen.
Hold on. Vic, listen. Understand this, because I don't want you to be crying if Barkley goes to the Browns. As Pro Football Talk said this morning, and I've been touting this also for a long time, Browns take Barkley at one. Now, all the quarterbacks are sitting there. The Giants are at number two, and that trading price goes up and up and up, and the Giants will get a king's ransom for that pick. Wouldn't that be tasty?
I'll tell you, and I'm going to hang up.
Sure.
I just hope that if they don't get Barkley, they don't get a quarterback. Because I would be very, very upset if they go for a quarterback with the number two pick. That's all I have to say.
Thank you, Victor,
for taking my call. Have a good day.
You know, I plan on it. So if we somehow get to 3 years from now or 4 years from now, and for whatever reason, Davis Webb does not end up being the next franchise quarterback, okay? Mm-hmm. Are we going to hear from every Giants caller here when this team doesn't have a quarterback who said it would be the dumbest thing? Look, if you don't want to pick a quarterback like you, I understand it. But don't diminish the value of setting up for your next franchise quarterback. There's value to that. And there's a big risk in not doing it. Not wanting to do it is fine. I get that, and there's an argument to be made for it. You've made it extremely well. You have Eli for two more years on the contract. You think Davis Webb can be the guy. I get it. That's cool. But to say it's stupid and it would be horrible if they did it, I mean, I'm not saying that about Saquon Barkley. That's silly. You can't go that far.
Again, the caveat here, and I have made this point, as animate as I am about not taking a quarterback, I have made the point that I believe very strongly in Dave Gettleman. Very strongly in Dave Gettleman. And if he has complete and total conviction, like he would sell his family to take a particular guy like Ernie Accorsi felt about Eli Manning, you have to tip your cap to him and say, okay, Dave, you believe that the quarterback is a must-have here beyond a shadow of a doubt, and that's the guy you have to have? Then let's wait and see. I will be quiet, and I will watch and say, make it happen. And you have to do that because you've hired Dave Gettleman to be the GM to make these decisions.
Correct.
Okay?
And that's the only point I've ever made. If you're not sold on a guy, you don't take a guy just for the sake of taking him.
But
you take him only if, like you said, he wants him and he thinks he's the next guy.
The beauty of it is I don't have that title and I don't make that kind of money to make that decision. So I can tell you what I would do if I was sitting in that chair. And I wouldn't touch a quarterback with a 50 million foot pole. I would not. Case closed. But I will tip my cap to Dave Gettleman if he does.
I think where I stand now, and again, with a lot of this still to go, I reserve the right to change my mind. If the Browns took Darnold at one, I'm not sure I would pick any of the other quarterbacks at two. I'm honestly not sure that I would. I'm that afraid of Mayfield's brashness and physical limitations,
mm-hmm.
Rosen's fragility,
mm-hmm.
and Allen's inconsistency in college. And to me, those are red flags enough where it would scare me at two. It would.
None of these guys are John Elway coming out. None of these guys are Luck coming out. None of these guys are Rivers or Ben or Eli coming out. All of those guys had better reports on them when they came out than any of these guys coming out in this draft.
Let's go to Matt in Rhode Island. He's up next. Hi, Matt. What's going on, pal? He's on line three. How are you, Matt?
Hi, guys. Good afternoon.
Hi. Good afternoon.
I wanted to start real quick. Great job out at the Combine last week. That was really really some good stuff there. You guys had a lot of good guests on the show. I really enjoyed
Thank you. Your
coverage from the Combine, especially given my guy Jeff Risen. I'm a big fan of it. I think he's an underrated guy.
Oh, Jeff's great,
good
yes.
Good to see him on the show. Two quick things. One, Paul, I wasn't going to bring this up, but Paul kind of made me think of it. You weren't happy with Darnold's answer. Let's understand something. He's 20 years old. He maybe didn't have the best answer. I mean, Eli didn't exactly handle the pre-draft process that well himself. And
yeah.
He turned out to be a class
and
act.
And
so
that's fair.
Even a knock.
That's fair. I mean? Like, that's fair.
It's a knock. It's a young kid.
But I would tell you this. Here's the one caveat. The one caveat is that coming into this draft right now, the scrutiny, and you're talking 14 years ago with Eli. 14 years ago.
Yeah.
The scrutiny now on these guys going into the combine and the preparation
it's
and
worse.
The coaching that is done.
It's more.
There's much less of a loophole, much less of a mulligan there that you can give to a guy when he comes up short in that interview as opposed to years
yeah.
ago. And Darnold seems to me,
sure.
He seems to me to be immature, deer in headlights. I would not want command of the huddle with that guy. Not right now. Maybe four
yeah.
years from now, but not right now. He would not be my guy.
Perhaps. I'm not a huge fan of any of the quarterbacks myself. I get cold feet with them all the time. But then again, I was a senior in high school and they drafted Eli and I was screaming for Robert Gallagher. So what the hell do I know?
Wait. You and me on the same page. I like you. You're old school.
Yeah.
I wanted Robert Gallagher like too. I admit it.
You know, don't give it. And, you know, I was wrong. So who knows?
So absolutely. And I'm here to admit it and face the music too.
Yeah.
I'm not going anywhere.
Yeah. John.
Yes.
I'm going to actually take a beef with what you said before.
Sure.
I actually think I would take Zach Martin over Odell Beckham any day of the week. And here's my reasoning why.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay. What is the biggest issue teams are having in the NFL currently?
Offensive line play is a huge issue. I agree.
Okay. It's a huge problem. What position is going to make more money as a free agent on the open market? The top receiver or the top – even offensive tackle.
Top wide receiver.
Now, yeah, the receiver's outpaced it.
No. Odell Beckham will make far more money than Zach Martin will when they hit free agency.
Yeah.
It's not going to be close.
That's what I'm saying. No, that's
right.
What I was saying.
Okay.
Maybe I misspoke. No, yeah. So I can get an elite player at a very difficult position to fill in the league. Over, God, there is a plethora of wide receivers. You just watched the Super Bowl. Neither of those teams had top-tier wide receiver talent, but they had good receivers with good lines and good quarterback play. I'm a firm believer if the line is good and the quarterback is good, the receivers will get open. So that's really just kind of – I didn't really necessarily agree with that
okay.
a couple years ago, but seeing all the problems the Giants and teams are having league-wide, I'm taking that all-pro offensive lineman over the all-pro receiver just because – the average wide receiver is still a really good player in today's NFL.
You know, Matt, I'll say this.
You know, the average guard, you might be getting a DJ Fluker.
If it was an all-pro left tackle, we can have the conversation.
There's no
and
question.
And I might agree with you.
No,
and
well,
I would agree with
no-brainer
you.
That's a no-brainer.
Tackle.
Correct. Even if it's a right
yeah.
tackle, to be quite honest with you. The
right.
guard, and trust me, no one has more respect for how good some of these guards are in the league. Trust me. I'm sorry. I got to go with the wide receiver.
Thanks
for the call, Matt. Appreciate
it's a preference thing.
It is a preference
yep,
thing. I would just say to you, oh, we got to go. Okay, so he's gone. I would only say this, and John, I'm with you on this one. I think I'm going to lean to the receiver for two reasons. Number one, you can do things schematically with your offensive line to sometimes cover up a very mediocre or average guard. You can do that, okay? but a truly game-breaking elite wide receiver, a potential Hall of Fame caliber wide receiver, causes a defensive coordinator nightmares. He will change up everything he's thinking about when he game plans for Sunday. He will change about how are we going to use a shell? We're going to use cover two. We're going to double him. We're going to bump him at the line and play press. We're going to zone him. So many things will change in that defensive coordinator's head because of that Odell Beckham threat on the other side of the ball. That's a pretty big impact on the game. And because of that, I still think I'd go with the game-breaking wide receiver over the interior lineman, especially the guard. Now, maybe the center. I know people are going to say, what about the center? Well, the center makes the line calls now. The center's more important than the guard.
Yeah, maybe.
Okay, for me, the center's more important than the guard.
Let's go to Reese in Queens. He's up next. Hi, Reese. What's going on, buddy?
Yeah, how you doing, guys?
Hi. Doing well, Reese. What's up?
Yeah, I've been hearing y'all conversations about with Saquon Barkley, and I can't hold my tongue anymore. I can't disagree with y'all too, like, anymore. Like, I just got to get this off my chest. Like, for one, we don't need a quarterback. Eli has another 2 years left in him, and after that, Davis will take over. So that's done. We don't need a quarterback.
No, Reese, hold on. You don't know that Davis Webb is taking over, no problem, in 2 years.
Okay, all right. So we have a quarterback, right?
Okay.
So who's going to protect him? Who's going to protect the quarterback? He's just going to get injured and be out.
Here's what you need to do to calm him down. I happen to agree with you. I think that's what's going to happen, but it's no sure thing.
He's going to get knocked on his butt every game because he's not going to protect him.
Hold on. I agree with you. I think we know Eli's there this year. I think the odds are he's got a chance to be the quarterback next year in the final year of his deal.
I agree with both those statements. Sure.
And I do.
What people don't understand about that. He was a great quarterback in college. Just look at the tape. Look at his stats.
Listen. You're talking to the biggest Davis Webb fan on this side of the Mississippi. I believe that Davis will be the guy, but it's not a lock. Okay, nothing's a lock.
And he wasn't a great college quarterback. He would have been a third round pick.
Nothing's a lock.
So you just want to stack the depth chart.
What you need to say, okay, to keep everybody calm, is that you believe in Webb, you have confidence in Webb, you think he could be the next guy, and you're willing to take whatever risk there is to set it up that way and pass on a QB. That's the more rounded, softened way to say what you believe. Because
that was my first point.
Okay, we're good.
All right. And now, okay, about the running back, okay? For one, y'all made this comment. Y'all said the value of the running back position doesn't warrant a number 2 pick. Did y'all say that?
Generally speaking, yes.
Historically, Football 101 says that.
All right. First of all, that's wrong. Because a running back like Saquon, first of all, Ezekiel Elliott's pick, fourth overall?
They was taken fourth overall. Yes, and by the way, if I was the Dallas Cowboys I would have taken.
That's in the top five. So we can agree that really isn't true. Look what Ezekiel Elliott did with the Cowboys.
Reese. By the way, if I were the Cowboys 3 years ago, I would have taken Jalen Ramsey in the first round and taken Derrick Henry in the second round, and I would be a better team today.
So you're saying Ezekiel Elliott is not valuable to the Cowboys?
I think Jalen Ramsey is more valuable to the Jaguars.
And you know what, Reese? Here's your problem. You're citing 1 year, one draft, 1 year, one player. When we say historically, we're talking about a track record of the last 30 years. My friend, you are not coming to the table with a good argument at all. You are losing badly.
Yeah, I don't understand that, but So Saquon Barkley, the reason he does warrant a second overall pick is because he changes the way defenses play you.
Does he?
These are not going to play you the same way when Saquon Barkley on the field. Here's
the problem. Here's the problem. Hold on a second now. If your offensive line isn't good enough to give him room to do his magic, guess what? It doesn't matter. And that defense is going to stack the box, and they're going to beat the living crap out of him, and he'll be out of the league in 2 years with injuries.
I understand that, but we got like 7 rounds in this draft. We have 7 rounds in this draft, and we have free agency. So we could get some pieces on the offensive line. That's nothing.
Reese,
if it was so easy to fix the offensive line, how come they haven't fixed it in 4 years?
How come most of the league is looking for offensive linemen?
I understand you. Y'all are totally right. I'm just saying, okay, just hear me out.
When we get Saquon Barkley, we're taking a kick, right? Okay, listen. We got the second round. We got the third round. We got free agency. I know there's not going to be top linemen in the draft or in the league after the second round. I know that. But there will be some serviceable, average offensive line that can protect you. Can we agree on that? There's going to be some good,
Reese,
offensive line.
Paul, hold on 1 second. Paul, Reese, can I ask you two very simple questions that you can answer for me?
Yes.
Thank you. My first question is that how many years do you think Saquon Barkley will last as a top-flight running back?
He probably I'll give him 6 to 8 years.
All right. I think 6 or 7 years is probably a nice, good average number. I think you're very fair with that.
You hope so.
Running back only has really a 10-year career, an average running back.
Agree.
Oh, average running back doesn't have anywhere near 10 years.
But
look. I'm saying, well, when I say average, I mean Hall of Fame type running back.
No, Reese, I agree.
Barber, Maurice, that's what I mean. I mean the average Hall of Fame type running back at 10 years.
Right? Reese, I agree with you. I think good case scenario, you'll get 6 to 7 prime years out of Saquon Barkley, okay? I agree with you.
I'll give it to me.
Fine. Well, close enough, okay?
You hope so.
Here's why you might want to look a different way in terms of positional value. Top defensive ends in the league play at that level for 9 to 11 seasons, okay? A quarterback will play at that level for 15 seasons. And if you go 5 years down the road, and let's just say Davis Webb doesn't work out, okay? And you're sitting there with Saquon Barkley and your running back, and you don't have a quarterback. Do you know where that gets you?
Will help Davis Webb because that will take pressure off of him. He won't have to throw it 30, 40 times a game.
Actually, he's right. Reese, you're right. You're absolutely right. Here's where I'm going to agree with you.
You're also assuming, by the way, that Saquon Barkley's a 25-carry game back, which I don't think he is.
Here's where you could win. Here's where you could win on this argument. Because even if the Giants don't have the next franchise quarterback set up, all right,
exactly.
We have seen guys like Jamal Lewis lead the Ravens to a Super Bowl because they had a great defense, they had a terrific offensive line, and Trent Dilfer was the quarterback.
Yeah, but they had one of the top five defenses in NFL history.
But the point is, what he says is not impossible.
No, it's not.
If Barkley becomes the superstar all-pro running back that you think he is in 5 years, and the Giants only have an average to mediocre quarterback, depending upon how they've set up the rest of the team, It is possible that they could still be in terrific shape.
How many teams
you don't need a great quarterback?
How many teams with superstar all-pro running backs have won Super Bowls in the last 10 years? I'm waiting.
But again, a player doesn't win a Super Bowl. A team wins a Super Bowl, so it's not one player that's going to change the whole franchise. I'm not saying that.
Reese, a quarterback can, a running back can't.
Yes. Unless a quarterback has offensive line and receivers, a quarterback cannot win a Super Bowl. Unless it's Tom Brady. Tom Brady does that, but the average quarterback cannot do that.
Have you watched Aaron Rodgers the last 10 years, Reese? Have you watched Aaron Rodgers the last 10 years?
Aaron Rodgers? Okay, Aaron Rodgers has won one Super Bowl in how many years?
Yeah, Aaron Rodgers is trash. Reese, thank you for the call. Goodbye. If you don't think Aaron Rodgers is a terrific quarterback, we can't have a conversation. We can't.
He totally lost on that one.
We can't.
He just totally lost on that one.
Again, if you want to make the argument that Barkley is so transformational that it's worth the pick anyway, that's fine. Do not tell me a running back is as valuable to a franchise as a quarterback. It's asinine. It doesn't make any sense.
Again, he's making a crazy argument, but he does love Barkley, and he loves his talent, and he loves his game-breaking ability, and what he's saying is that the Giants, over the course of time, might be able to feature him as one of their star players in the future, and that's fine.
And that's all accurate.
That's fine. But he's going too far with the way he's trying to then explain and back up his argument,
I never thought I'd hear so much heat for having Barkley as the second guy on my board.
It's okay.
He's number two.
It's okay.
Why am I getting so much heat for this? I don't understand.
Well,
I said he might be the best overall player in the draft class based on his grade, and if my one quarterback that I love isn't there, that I would really consider taking him. Why am I public enemy number one? I don't understand.
Well, here's the funny part. I've been public enemy number one for saying I'm not going to take a quarterback since November or since December. So feel some of the heat. but because of the combine and the way Barkley dominated the combine, we're now going to get a huge flow, okay, of crowd reaction, of fan reaction.
I hear you.
All trying to grab Barkley.
By the way, did you just watch Barkley run? Did you not watch Darius Geis and Nick Chubb? Did you not watch Sony Michel? Did you not watch Rashad Penny?
There's some other really good running backs there.
And if you don't pick Barkley at two, guess what? You can get a damn good running back at the top of the second round.
See, folks, you really want to know where I'm going here. If Barkley's there at two, I'm taking Barkley, and I'm going to try to trade up to the bottom of the first round and grab Will Hernandez. That's what I'm going to try.
I think that's fine. All right, final call of the show is Bruce at Albany. Hi, Bruce. How are you, buddy?
Hi, guys.
Hello.
I like the point you're making, and I kind of agree with Paul about trading down possibly. But remember when Ezekiel Elliott didn't play for Dallas, Dak Prescott's numbers were horrible. And it just goes to show you how much the complement is. If the Giants have a great running back, and he's a 1,000-yard receiver, too, how much that will make your quarterback look better. And I think Davis Webb, if you surround him with talent, I mean, I don't know. I can't compare him to these quarterbacks that are available now. But are they that much superior to him? I mean, that's something for our GM to decide.
No, Bruce, you're right. And that's actually a really important question. And Dave Gettleman said at the Combine they would do exactly what you just said. They would take what they think of Davis Webb and comparing to this quarterback class, and that will be part of the evaluation process as to whether they take a quarterback. You're absolutely right.
I think the other thing you have to keep in mind based on what you just said, and yes, John's right there. It's almost unfair, though, because Webb has had the ability to be in the pros for a season and soak up things. So, in my mind, he's a step ahead of those guys anyway in his development. But here's the other thing. What you just said about having the running back making a big difference for Eli, to be perfectly frank, Eli needs more help on the offensive line than he does in the running back core right now.
And I'll point this out too, Bruce.
You can't get five linemen, though. You can get a running back, but you're not going to get five offensive linemen.
And you know what? We have all put this entire conversation, this whole show, has been in a bubble because none of us have had the opportunity to address the fact that beginning on March 12th, agents can talk to teams in free agency. Beginning on the 14th, they can make deals for free agency. Let's see what the Giants do to enhance their offensive line in free agency before they get to the draft, because that's going to make a lot of difference as to which direction they go.
Let's get to average, at least.
Exactly. Oh,
and one last thing.
Sure.
I'm taking Beckham over any offensive lineman because, remember, this is still entertainment. And nobody's paying to see Zach Martin play.
Oh, that's true,
people,
too.
Even if you're losing, they're going to go pay to see Odell do his thing. Don't ever forget that. It's still entertainment, and that's why he's a superstar. He's not just a football star. He's a superstar.
He does transcend the sport. I wouldn't argue that.
Thank you, Bruce.
Thank you.
Good call.
Stuff. And the other thing I'll warn, too, before we say goodbye. The assumption is that Barkley is going to be the same type of running back as Gurley and Ezekiel Elliott that gets it 25 times and is crushing between the tackles and challenges you that way. In my mind, Paul, that's not the type of back that he is.
Right, I understand.
He's going to beat you in different ways, and he can do things that Elliott and Gurley can't do. As a big play receiver out of the backfield, Gurley caught some passes last year. I know Elliott caught some passes, but they're not the type of dynamic player in space that Barkley is, in my opinion. He's more of a big play threat, but he's not going to be your classic workhorse, grind it out, 4 yards in a cloud of dust type of running back. They're different type of players, but that doesn't mean Barkley, maybe in this modern NFL, with the way the running backs use out of the backfield, he's not even more valuable than those guys. I think it's a very interesting piece of the puzzle that people need to look at.
The thing about it is he will probably have more 40-yard runs than anybody in the league if he lands in a spot that's got a decent offensive line and gives him room to run.
Sure.
That's the kind of thing he's going to do. And quite frankly, he'll probably have more 20-plus-yard touchdown runs than anybody in the league. Those are the kinds of things he has a real shot to do.
And if he pass protects well enough, he's going to get a lot of receptions, too, because he's going to be on the field on third downs.
And he'll have and we've heard that his pass protection is pretty good. Yep. I haven't done enough of a study on it, but I've heard that it is good enough. So, anyway, John, I think we got to wrap this one up.
Yes, I love the spirit of discussion, everybody. Fun show. Thanks for calling in, being a part of it. The debate continues, and we'll move on. We'll wrap up the Combine tomorrow, and then we're going to turn our attention to free agency because that begins next week, a very important part of this whole process as well. For Paul Dottino, I'm John Schmuck. We'll see you next time on Giants.com. Everybody, have a great day.